It's time to talk about audio description. And audio description, if you're not aware of it, is if you watch television, you might be aware of that. It's the spoken word that describes what's going on when there's no dialogue in a programme. Describes a scene for you if you can't see very well. And they do this in cinemas, they do this in theatres as well. And Vidar Hjerding, he is, you love audio description, don't you?
It's great, and ever since I was lucky enough to come across it, I don't know how many years ago now, I've genuinely, Simon, felt that, yes, it's really enhanced my enjoyment of, you know, the arts. You mentioned cinema there, you mentioned, you know, the theatre. And within the theatre, it's not just plays, it's also musicals and ballets and operas and dance as well. So a whole wide sort of spectrum of the live performing arts, if you like.
Now, we're going to do one that you might think a bit strange for the 9th of February, but we're going to talk about one that's been with the Royal Shakespeare Company, haven't we?
Absolutely, and partly the reason for doing it and looking at it today is that the final performance of the 2016-17 run of this particular Royal Shakespeare Company production was audio described. They did actually another one which was audio described earlier in the run, but I went to see the matinee last Sunday. And yeah, it's A Christmas Carol, which for those who I'm sure you'll all know, it's a Charles Dickens novel. David Edgar adapted it. Rachel Kavner directed it. Phil Davis starred in the Scrooge role. Great character. He did a terrific performance. Let me confess, declaring an interest now, it is my favorite all-time novel. So they had a hard act to sort of, make sure it lived up to my expectations, because I've seen various films, various productions over the years. I love the book, and I think, you know, what is it, written in 1843, so 100, and he says, rapidly doing his math, 75 years. There's an anniversary.
Yeah, and you've modded yourself on Scrooge, haven't you?
That's right. There you go. It was, you know, 175 years on, it still has a resonance, and interestingly as well, it's worth remembering that the Church of England, the official Christmas period, ends at the end of January, early February with Candlemas. So for some people, it's not wholly inappropriate to be looking at A Christmas Carol into the first few weeks of the calendar year. And it's worth slipping in here that if you missed it this time, there's going to be a chance to see it again, because it's going to be staged next Christmas, dare I mention it. But yeah, the festive offering at the RSC in Stratford is going to be A Christmas Carol again. And I've got to say, you know, get a chance to go, please do.
And why don't you've got a story like this that everybody knows it? We've grown up with this story, as you say, over the last 100 years or so. Then there's quite a lot for it to live up to, isn't there?
That's very true. And again, I think we all have, particularly if it's a story or a book or a novel or something that you know really well, and you've heard it in different forms, you've read it, you've seen film dramatizations of it or whatever, you will all have your images of characters and backdrops and costumes and all the rest of it. And I am quite a traditionalist when it comes to something like A Christmas Carol. And happily, for people like me, it was very much performed in the period in which it was written. So, you know, stylized Victorian set with streets and sort of black charcoal sort of buildings and things. Costumes of the 1840s. So, you know, very much timely, very much, you know, reflecting the period at which Dickens wrote it. And it was a nice sort of device, I thought, that Dickens and his publisher, in a sense, act as the narrators through the afternoon or the evening's performance, if you'd seen it in the evening. And it talks about how he came to write the novel. He wanted to highlight the social conditions of Victorian England at the time, which clearly, as people will be aware, weren't great. And by doing so through a compelling storyline, it hopefully had even more impact than maybe a more dry or hysteric or arguably academic pamphlet might have done. So the story compelling, but also through that story you get a real insight into social conditions, socioeconomic conditions of the period.
Now they often do a thing called a touch tour, so you get access to things that normal patrons don't.
Absolutely. For those who don't know, a touch tour means that if you are visually impaired and you have booked your tickets for the audio described performance and you are able to arrive normally an hour and a half or a couple of hours, normally at Stratford actually, ahead of the show, you and your friends, family, people who've come with you, can get the chance to go on stage and, I guess, literally get a feel for some of the sets, some of the more unusual costumes, props. Also, you very frequently, and the RSC are very good at this, get an opportunity to meet a number of members of the cast. And bearing in mind, they've normally got a matinee and an evening performance that day, coming out sort of 11 o'clock in the morning, 12 midday, to talk to patrons is a real, you know, bonus, and very good of them to do it. But they see it as part of what they want to do to you know, engage their audience. And again, a real privilege to be able to talk to them about their costumes, about their roles, about how the production is going, about rehearsals, whatever. So that was, again, a really interesting dimension. Giles, who is playing the ghost of Mr. Marley, who, for those who don't know the story, is Ebenezer Scrooge's erstwhile partner. He came out and chatted about his particular part and the production as a whole, and that was excellent. And it certainly adds a great dimension to the show. And on the stage, as well as, you know, being told about how projected images would be on the backdrop and all the rest of it, we actually saw a chestnut stand of the period, and you know, there are various things that perhaps you hadn't necessarily thought of. There's a big four-poster bed with lots of rich curtains going around it, you know, because that's a focal point at one stage. And, you know, we saw where Scrooge sits in his counting house and his luckless Bob Cratchit, his assistant, sits on a high stool at a desk in the other room. And it's, it's very much the period, really, really helpful to give you a flavor, to give you a context of the set, the props that others in the audience will be able to see during the course of the action on stage, which, if you're not sighted or have limited vision, you wouldn't. And therefore, that opportunity to get on stage and get a feel for it, a sense of perspective, I think helps to enhance your overall enjoyment of what's being done.
I remember when my dad used to encourage me to read Dickens when I was a boy. And I remember when I read Dickens, there was always that feeling that you were actually in Victorian London, and you could smell the sulphur and feel the fog, and you just get that feeling of the bustle. And I suppose audio description helps bring that out in a play as well, doesn't it?
Very much so. Yes, you Carolyn Smith and Julia Grundy, and I must credit the describers again on this occasion, they're often providing audio description in Stratford for RSC productions. They clearly loved the production. That came through in their commentary. It came through in their explanations as we were on the Touch Tour. And I must admit, it was a great show. Some good music in it as well, and some fun as well. Yes, there's some heavy moments, but there's also some humour. And great to see so many young people. That's not a patronising remark. It is a family, you know, I guess, at Christmas family productions, and lots of young people who may even be studying it, for all I know, on the syllabus. But even if you're not, a great classic story, which I think everyone should read or hear or see the film or the stage version of it sometime or other in their lives, because it's a great, great tale.
So Vida and I would like you to have a think about going to see an AD production of some kind. And there's more of these things going on, but more demand, and the other thing is, if you don't use it, you'll lose it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Theatres do want to engage with their audiences, like I guess any organisation these days, whether it's a retail outlet or whatever. And you want to hear what people want to see. You want to hear what access provision perhaps you should be thinking about, what pickup or makeup or what audience development plans might fit in with the people out there who are looking for different types of assisted performances, in particular audio description, which is what you and I focus on in these regular Friday chats, Simon. So if you've not tried it and you want to learn more about what your local theatre does and you want to get more involved, have a chat with the theatre. Sometimes there's a creative learning officer, sometimes it's the education department. Box office is often a good port of call to initially make the inquiry about what is coming up in terms of audio description. And if you want to then maybe talk to somebody within the team about, how you can maybe, register your thoughts and views about what you'd like to see audio described going forward, then I'm sure they'd put you in touch with the right person.
Vida, you always bring it to life for us, and we appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to speaking to you very soon.
Thank you very much, Simon. Have a good weekend.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio.